Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Silver Lining in the Cloud, brought to you by Computer Design and Integration.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Silver Lining in the Cloud, where we talk with business leaders from Atlanta and the surrounding communities. Silver Lining in the Cloud is brought to you by CDI Managed Services, where we outsource IT infrastructure support and private cloud computing services. I'm your host today, Dominic Rainey, and we've got some great business leaders with us this morning, a couple of ladies that have taken the time out of their business schedule to be with us and talk about what they do. So first we've got it's Wishes for the numeral 4 Me Foundation. We have Lynn Robinette. She's the president and founder of that organization. And we'll also be talking with Talk About It Catering. And we'll be speaking with the owner of Talk About It Catering, Cassandra Underwood. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you for getting up and fighting this cold weather. And, you know, this speaks well of business leaders that love what they do. And they get up and get out in the morning and make things happen. So thank you both for being with us today. First, let's start with Cassandra. Cassandra, why don't you tell us a little bit about Talk About It Catering, and which is kind of a play on words, I guess. Talk About Catering.
That's right. As far as the name, Talk About It Catering, I spent about 2 hours Indian style on my bed, so my legs were pretty much dead after that, thinking about what is it that I want people to say when they think of the business as I was starting it. And later I came up with the idea of I want people to talk about it. So it's basically word of mouth, which goes far when you have a business.
Oh, great, great. So, I mean, it's always interesting how you come up with the idea and then the name. It's a great name. It's catchy, you mm-hmm. know? And did you have a past in experience with catering, or did you just something you've always wanted to do?
Not a past experience as far as catering. I was a sous chef when I worked in Athens at a culinary market there. I actually worked there where I had my business, just learning new techniques after I had got out of school and stuff. But I did various jobs that was still within the food service industry, and just got the vision to go in business for myself and went from there.
Okay. Cassandra, sous chef, that sounds like some designation that's very involved or requires education or training and et cetera, et cetera.
Right. I work directly up under an executive chef. And mm-hmm. So that's what the sous chef comes in when you work directly up under an executive chef.
Oh, okay. So would you consider Talk About It Catering a traditional catering service, or is it a little bit different?
Not at all. We are a non-traditional full service catering company. And so basically what that means is there's no pick one, no pick two. Whatever my clients get is what they want. They have the freedom to customize their menu. Nobody knows better than the person that has the food service needs what they want than the person that has the need. So I didn't want to put limits on what people can get. If you go to maybe a type of traditional caterer or somebody that has a banquet event order, you know, you start down and you pick one. You go down and it'd be meat, starch, veg, and you're just picking whatever the choices that they give you. So you have no freedom. And I didn't want to do that to people. I wanted people to have the flexibility to be as creative, or if they want to be traditional, that's their opinion, you know, their option, just to free it up for them.
Well, it's probably presents a number of dynamics for your organization. I mm-hmm. mean, it certainly makes it attractive to anyone who wants to do
yes.
catering, because I'm sure they like, you know, have ideas about what mm-hmm. kind of foods they want. So what are some of the hurdles that you deal with when you deal with customized services like that?
I think some of the hurdles, I would say, being in this
ordering, bit, you know, storing food, that
right,
kind of thing.
Finding the products that might be needed for certain people. I have a lady that she's allergic to the caking agent within regular salt, kosher salt, and she has allergic reactions. And so I have to find certain things and hunt for what it might be that clients need. And that puts in a lot of travel time.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to make sure that I can get it at the peak of freshness for them for the event.
Oh, sure. Cassandra Underwood with talk about it, catering. And catering, you know, that's, I mean, when you're dealing with that and you are able to handle those needs for specific diet needs and mm-hmm. things like that, I would imagine that makes it a home run for you in terms of reoccurring business.
It does.
When people get to know you and you take care of them like that, mm-hmm. I'm sure that's kind of a great idea to be able to do that.
It doesn't present a challenge to me. I find it to be very exciting. I did a private party for someone in their home, and one of the people at the party, he had a dietary restriction, the autoimmune diet, mm-hmm. where basically he can almost eat nothing. And I spent about 5 days just researching things and trying to find something that would be appealing to him, because they were eating Italian food, lasagnas, antipasto kebabs, prosciutto, crostini, bread, and all he was going to have was a salad. And I was like, poor guy. So I spent a lot of time and I researched something, and I was able to give him a full meal that he can enjoy versus just having a mixed green salad.
Well, that's a lasting impression if I've ever heard one. That's awesome. Well, what types of events do you cater there at Talk About Catering?
We do weddings, birthday parties, private parties, family reunions, any type of major event. It can be something small for someone that might just want to do a dinner date within their home. Mm-hmm. So personal chef, if you will, with their loved one, just birthday parties, bridal showers, mm-hmm. rehearsal dinners. We pretty do much all of the major events.
Well, you can get into some sizable events.
Yes.
I mean, how do you handle that in terms of preparation and staff to help you get all that done?
So I have a group of people that always come out with me. And the main thing that makes it easy for me to do any event, regardless of the size, is the level of planning that I put into it. I plan ahead. You know, if someone is willing to call me for an event a year from now, I would plan as if it's going to be within this physical year. So I put a lot of planning into it, and it just makes the execution so much easier.
How much advance notice does someone, you know, logically have to give a catering service to be able to, you know, perform well?
I would say for the larger events, as much time that you can give them is great. I guess realistically, it can be 2 months, a month, or something like that. For smaller events, it could be like the week of, just long.
Really? Yeah. So I could call you on a Monday and mm-hmm. have you cater a service on a Friday?
Exactly.
Well, that's great. That's short notice. Mm-hmm. That's short notice. So, yeah, because sometimes there's a backlog of
right.
of a business, and, you know, so if you're able to do that, it means you're able to service just about anyone's needs,
from right.
what I'm gathering. So Cassandra, so how long have you been doing this business of catering?
Five wonderful years. We're actually celebrating our five-year anniversary this month. So Talk About It Catering is 5 years old.
Wow. Where's it going from here? What's the horizon look like?
Well, the horizon is definitely going up. It's amazing where I started off with my car when I started my business off. And then I was like, well, maybe I can get an SUV. And so now I'm like, bring that van right onto the door. And so I'm looking for a van. And it's exciting to just, you know, to progress up to the point in where I am now and doing more events and more creative events. So we're going great places and doing great things. And I just see things continuing to pick up more and more.
Mm-hmm. So that's a great gauge for,
yes.
I guess, a catering business, because the more, you know, sizable opportunities and mm-hmm. more business you're doing, the different kinds of vehicles that you need to handle that. Are they, you know, because, you know, you probably have to keep this food hot and you have
right.
to be able to, you know, deal with that as well. Is that a tricky thing that comes into play?
It's not. I use the food warmers, the Cambros. They're extremely heavy, but they work excellent. You put mm-hmm. the food in there and you pull them out, and it maintains the heat for up to 4 hours. And you pop it out, put it, set the table up, and you just go from there.
Just go from there.
That's
just
it. Start.
Sounds easy. I know anything that sounds easy is right. not easy.
Well, it's a lot that you put into it. But yeah. again, it goes back into the planning phases of doing all of that. And
yeah.
I know, and you have to organize it, putting it in there so you can grab the right thing and put it where it needs to be.
Yeah, anyone that does anything in a professional manner makes it look easy. I know
right.
that. Yeah, but it's not. Cassandra Underwood, she's with Talk About It Catering. She started this company 5 years ago, and it's going great, and we're glad to have you here on Silver Lining in the Cloud. So, you know, how'd you come up with the name? I mean, it's really, I mean, it says it. It just says it.
Right. I guess I've always just been creative, and I want to find something that's catchy that people can grab onto. So, you know, you think about what is it that you want people to do, especially with this line of business. I definitely don't want to be the best kept secret. I want you to talk about it. Tell somebody, you know. And so it's just, I came up with the name with word of mouth in mind. So with word of mouth, you have to talk. Mm-hmm. So talk about it. And I knew it was catering. So I just tagged that catering on there.
Yeah, it works. It works. And you were telling me just before we kicked off the program how you're set up there in Lawrenceville. Is that where you do all of the facilities?
It is.
Okay. It's a unique setup that you have there.
It is. And it works because I don't physically need a standalone building. I'm not a restaurant. So I don't have to turn on the lights, light up the whole building, and have a full staff there. You know, with a restaurant, you don't know if one person is going to come through the door in that day or 500 versus catering. I only work when that need is there. So I don't need to be somewhere where I have to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyone considering your company doesn't have to worry that, you know, about the facilities and all that. This is a professional setup structured to handle any size catering opportunity. And it's working well for you, obviously.
Right. And because I don't have an actual building, that helps me with my pricing. So I don't have to charge you what a restaurant would if you were going to them, because I don't have that overhead.
Right. Right. And actually along that line, Cassandra, I would imagine it's because you have to meet certain health requirements and people, you know, anytime you're cooking food.
Right.
So, you know, to be able to do, some people would say, well, I'll do that in my house. Well, it's probably not conducive to do catering out of your house, right?
I mean, right.
With all the, I don't know what the constraints are and all those kind of rules and regulations, but it's probably pretty daunting for some companies.
Yes, a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah. So that's great. And that's all taken care of. So that just keeps your overhead down.
Yes,
well
it does.
Put. That's well said. I mean, that's so talk about it. Catering can do it not only right, but at a reasonable price. That's a winning combination.
Right. Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Absolutely. So how far do you guys travel, or how far, what's your market look like in terms of how far out you go and handle, you know,
it's
clients?
Normally 50 miles. However, I will be down in Savannah in May with a wedding for someone.
You can go to that?
Yeah, I can travel just as long as they can have a facility where I can cook the food there, because naturally I'm not going to cook it. It's not going to drive to Savannah with me.
Yeah.
But if they have a facility that can accommodate me and what I need to do pertaining to that event, I will travel.
Uh-huh. So is there a network of, you know, like some organizations they belong to a network and they actually just tap into that network of facilities or, you know, resources, if you will.
Well, in this particular case, the bride has already found a facility and that you can bring your own caterer there and not have to use who they suggest. So I met her via a networking event and she asked me, would I be willing to travel? Of course, I had to make sure that she had the realistic expectations and that the travel time would be included. And she said she was fine with accommodating that. And I said, well, let's do it.
Boy, that's great. That's excellent. And doing, I imagine that opens a whole new world for
it
you
does.
on the coast. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of weddings in the summer on the coast. So good luck with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you may have tapped a big deal there.
Yeah, that's always the plan.
Big market. Yeah, absolutely. So, Cassandra, we're just talking about your catering business and all that. What do you have a story about? One of the circumstances that you got involved in that really turned into something special? I'll bet you've got all kinds of situations that deal with clients and different kinds of clients and meeting their needs.
Right. I think the biggest one is when you do the dietary restrictions. When I do stuff and I plan any type of event, even if the client per se doesn't tell me, I always try to imagine the people that are there. I've been to places, events, and the food is provided. And I've seen vegetarians only have chips and apples to eat because they wasn't considered. So when I have the flexibility to plan out the menu, you know, if it was you hiring me and you are giving me complete freedom with planning the menu, naturally I'm going to find something that you want, but I think of who's going to be there.
So you actually get kind of a profile of the attendees to the event?
Right. So I'll think about if it's somebody that doesn't have a dietary restriction, if it's somebody that's going to be gluten-free, and if it's someone there that's vegetarian. So I try to cover those three bases to make sure everybody can eat. You know, it's not a good feeling to go somewhere and there's nothing that you can have, you know. Right, it's right. just that makes the experience bad, even if the overall event is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be able to eat just like everyone else that's there. And so that's always something that that I consider. And if, even if I find someone that a lot of times the menus are not balanced, it's meat, meat, meat. Or I had one client, five starches and no vegetables.
Oh, wow.
Right. And I see, you know, it probably would be better, you know, for yourself and others to add at least one vegetable in there just to try to balance things out. So I think a lot of times getting people to have a balanced menu presents a challenge because they're not really wanting to do that.
Yeah. That's very well thought out. I mean, it's it really does differentiate you from, I think, a lot of businesses.
Thank you.
In your world. So we've been talking with Cassandra Underwood, talk about it, catering in Lawrenceville, and she goes coast to coast almost. So, someday, it won't be long.
That's right.
All right, great. So tell our listeners how they can reach out to Talk About It Catering and get more information and sign up for one of your catering experiences.
Well, the main way is going to be the website, which is www.talkaboutitcatering.com. My email address is pretty much the same as the name of the business. It'll just be Cassandra@talkaboutitcatering.com. And you can always call me on the phone and I will answer myself at 706-286-0417.
Thank you, Cassandra. Very good. All right. You've been listening to Silver Lining in the Cloud, brought to you by CDI Managed Services. And next up, we're going to be talking with Lynn Robinette. She's founder and president of Wishes for Me Foundation, and it's Wishes, letter 4, M-E Foundation. And Lynn, you're in Lawrenceville also, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Lynn, tell us about Wishes for Me Foundation and what's going on there.
Well, we are a nonprofit organization. We assist individuals with disabilities with trying to find different programs which they are applicable for, as well as we provide homes in Lawrenceville for young disabled adults. And it's more in a group style. It's not individual family homes. They are private residences. And our residents come in, share, you know, the home with other disabled individuals, and they stay very active in the community. So that's the one thing that we do try to focus on, is keeping our residents active and have a good time.
Yeah.
And it's a very family oriented.
Very homey, right?
It is, very much so.
Makes them feel like they're in a home.
Absolutely.
In a real home.
And we're all family at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So we really are. Our caregivers are very passionate about the care that they provide for our residents, and they spend a lot of time, even on their personal time, you know, coming and doing things with our residents. And several of our caregivers will take them out at night or take them home for the weekend and have different, like a pool party or a cookout, or, you know, for special events when residents don't have local family for different holidays.
Yeah. Well, Lynn, what inspired you to create this organization, Wishes for Me Foundation?
Actually, it was because of my two children. Back in 1996, both of my children were diagnosed with a progressive neuromuscular disease called Friedreich's ataxia, which is supported by the Muscular Dystrophy Association. And being a single mom, my concern was, as I saw them progressively decline, is if something were to happen to me, what would happen to them? It was just myself and two children in Georgia. We have no relatives here in the state. So as I began to seek a solution, my big challenge was with their disability, they would eventually be at a level of care which would possibly place them in a nursing home as a young adult. So that's what the goal was to prevent that, because they were very sociable, outgoing, and my children have always been sociable, even when they're confined to a wheelchair.
Yeah. What ages are when this occurred? And
My children were 12 and 13 years old when they were diagnosed. Oh, we started seeing some onset of the disease at 9 and 10 years old. So it took a while for the diagnosis to come through.
Okay. Is this unusual to have people open their homes for a service like this? Or is this something you just kind of thought of yourself?
Well, the homes that we wanted to, look at was, we wanted something more family oriented and not so rigid with government regulations. Mm. So we are able to provide our homes without having to be a licensed personal care facility.
So that's a differentiator there.
It is major.
Huge.
Yes. Mm. Plus it helps keeps the rate down on the rent. Gives us a lot more flexibility. And personal care facilities have their place, but at the same time, when you are required to be a licensed facility, then there's a lot of regulations with the government, and we have a lot more flexibility with what we can do and within each of our homes. And each home is based on the residents and their disabilities that are in them. So it's very unique, and we spend a lot of time partnering up our residents in the individual homes.
I can imagine that is a big challenge and a daunting challenge to find the right facilities and that matching them. I guess it's you're kind of a matchmaker in that regard, right?
Yes.
That's the trick that you put, that you're able to put together, and that's phenomenal. That's really phenomenal.
It is, can be quite challenging because you're looking at individuals that were raised totally different cultures, different beliefs, all walks of life, and you're bringing them together and placing them 24 hours a day together. So,
and these people have already had an experience or more than one experience, right? They're actually probably welcome. This new concept, this new idea.
We have found a lot of people that have been very pleased. Not everybody likes a group style living, and that's fine, each to his own. But some, due to financial situations, when you're dealing with individuals with disabilities, their income is significantly low. Like with SSI, the most they can receive in 1 month is $733 a month, and you're expected to live on that. So we have several residents that is all the income that they receive. So therefore, we really work with the individuals and their budget so that they can remain successful within the community.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Lynn Robinette, Wishes for Me Foundation. She is the founder and the president of that organization in Lawrenceville. And how many homes do you have now?
We currently have five.
Five. That's significant. Yeah.
Yes. So we built an addition last year onto one of our homes, and our fifth home is actually opening up today, moving in new residents. So we just purchased it about 4 weeks ago.
Oh, so you're purchasing a home. In some instances, or all instances, or
yes, all of our homes, they were private residences, and they're all on the same street, so that makes even a nicer caveat to what we offer, because the residents do enjoy visiting each other and neighbors, and they have things in common.
Yeah,
and
so they're close to each other.
There's
a commonality there.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. And then, like any neighbor, you can go visit people and then you can leave them. and the other neighbors in the neighborhood enjoy seeing our residents, and they've started getting involved in the lives of our residents as well.
Okay. And so obviously there's a cost to find a home, purchase a home, fix it up, and all that. How does your organization, how is it funded? How do you get the funds to do things like that?
We depend a lot on donations from businesses and individuals, as well as we do have to charge rent to help cover the cost. But the rent does not help us maintain at the level that we provide within our homes mm-hmm. and the adaptive equipment and so forth. So we do rely a lot on individual donations.
Yeah. And well, the good news, I guess, from the idea and the way you, the approach that you have is that the interest rates are low, and that helps you,
you know,
purchase those homes at a reasonable cost as well.
It does, most definitely, yes.
Right. Okay, great. How many people do you have to fill out an application, or how does it work to get qualified, or how does all that come to play in terms of people wanting, you know, being the right candidate for you?
Well, we have contacts throughout Metro Atlanta with doctors, et cetera, and then they refer people to me. They all know that they can give my name, number, email address to individuals, and people will do searches on the internet and come across our homes and send an email to admin@wishesforme.org mm-hmm. or either call our office.
Yeah. You know, medical reference. I never even, you know, just didn't mm-hmm. even think about it that way. I'm sure there's a great need.
We have a lot of contacts within the medical industry just because of doctors that we deal with our residents, and they come across other patients of theirs, and they will refer them to us.
Okay. And on your website, it says something about pets.
Oh,
yes. What's going on there? Can people bring their pets?
We do have several dogs living in our homes. We did have a cat at one time. So my son has a Labradoodle.
Oh, great dog.
Oh, awesome. Beautiful dog. Her name is Hope. And all 63 pounds of her, beautiful dog. And then we have in another home, we have a poodle, and that one of our residents had prior to moving into our home. Mm-hmm. And then somehow or the other, a dog just was a stray, came up to our home, very friendly. And we could tell that he had been abandoned are out on his own for quite a while, and mm-hmm. but very friendly dog, and one of the residents wanted to keep him, and so we worked things out with the family. And
So, and there are programs even locally. I'm aware of a few we can talk about after the show about you know, that have, and I'm sure you're aware that they train animals from infancy, from mm-hmm. puppies to service people with disabilities.
Absolutely. And we have several friends with canine assistance.
Excellent. Dogs. Very good. Okay.
But the animals give responsibility back to the residents. Mm-hmm. It's good for them. I know with my son, it motivates him to get up every day. And mm-hmm. his challenge of transferring out of his bed, totally wheelchair-bound, sometimes it'd just be easier to stay in bed, but with the dog, that gives him the initiative.
Yeah.
And it also makes him feel more independent.
Yeah.
Having an animal.
Yeah, I've seen it work in action. I mean, it's a phenomenal, I guess, relationship that people have with their pets, disabled people especially. Mm-hmm. It helps them come out.
Exactly.
And look at life differently a little bit, you know, instead of looking internally. And pets are phenomenal in that regard.
They are.
Well, now, how many people are do you have people in each facility that kind of run it, manage it, you know, service it? How does all that work, Lynn?
Okay, so we have the individuals that live in our home, they are on Medicaid waiver programs, which is provided by the state. That is how the individuals receive their care, is through their waiver program. It provides caregivers to come in, help clean, help cook, help, you know, they run errands, they go to social events, transport them to volunteer events, and we go to games like the Georgia Swarm. That's a new activity they've really enjoyed. They've participate in Special Olympics bowling, bocce ball, softball.
So you're able to tap those resources that the state has and utilize those resources for your facilities.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
What a neat
Does give them the ability to live out on their own, mm-hmm. especially with several of our residents. who have deceased parents. Mm-hmm. Our ages right now are from 18 years old to 59 years old. Mm-hmm. And our 50-year-old residents, you know, the ones that have living parents, the parents are not at a in a position to physically be able to take care of them. And also, as a parent, we try to, you know, our job is to help our children be successful. And our model in our homes and the way we have built a network system around each of our residents, this enables the family to feel confident that their children will be successful in the community in the event they're not around.
Oh, I should say so. You've been listening to Lynn Robinette. She is the founder and president of Wishes for Me Foundation in Lawrenceville. It's a non-for-profit organization that provides group-style home for disabled adults. What a great, great passion you have. Thank you for that. That's awesome what you're doing for people like that.
Well, thank you.
That's excellent. Absolutely. And I'm sure Cassandra is thinking, how are these people cook and how do they prepare their meals? You know, how you see four people in a kitchen trying to get their meals. How does that work?
We have nice kitchens in all of our homes, and some of the residents are able to assist with prep work.
Uh-huh.
But they do enjoy eating, of course.
Yeah.
And helping with the planning.
That's great therapy in itself. You know, cooking, a lot of people just love to cook. You know, it's just relaxing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we have several that have enjoyed spending time in the kitchen.
I would say so. No food fights, though. No food fights, right?
No.
Okay, Lynn. Anything else you'd like to add to the conversation, or tell our listeners how they can reach out to you and your organization if they have a need, or just to help out in a financial way? That would be a great thing to do as well.
You always can go to the website and learn how you can support the organization, even by reaching out and being friends to the residents. Several of them are not from this area, so they were prior. Most all of our residents have been shut-ins, or we have transitioned several from nursing homes, et cetera. So just showing them love,
mm-hmm.
being a friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Help this organization out, people. Look them up and help them out. Sounds great. You've been listening to Silver Lining in the Cloud, brought to you by CDI Managed Services, where we outsource IT support and cloud computing. We especially appreciate our guests today for coming into the studio and talk about what they do. We're just glad to have you as part of the program here and part of the community.
Thank you.
Great services you ladies are offering. Ladies have a lot of power today. As it's just changing, and here's one example of it right here. Thank you again. And to listen to this show and other Silver Lining in the Cloud broadcasts, go to silverlining.businessradiox.com. When it comes to outsourced IT support and migrating your IT infrastructure to the cloud, CDI Services is your Silver Lining in the Cloud.